a woman and man are riding in a car. And she turns to him and she says, are you thirsty? Would you like to stop for a drink? And he isn't, so he says, nope. And then before long, it turns out that she's annoyed because she had wanted to stop. And he's annoyed because he feels, why are you playing games with me? Why did you ask me when what you really wanted to do was tell me that you wanted to stop? I would have been happy to if I knew that's what you wanted. The key to her frustration, I believe, is not that she wanted to stop, but she didn't want to tell him. She wanted him to just know. She wanted him to be a mind reader, which is how he sees it. But that when she said, are you thirsty? Would you like to stop for a drink? She expected a negotiation, just as we saw the little girls entering into complex verbal negotiations. And it isn't even that she wanted to stop and wanted to get there by this indirect negotiation means, but that she really is taking his preferences into account. So when she said, are you thirsty? Would you like to stop for a drink? She didn't expect a yes-no answer. She expected something like, well, I don't know, how do you feel about it? And then she could say, well, I don't know, how do you feel about it? And then they could talk about how they both feel about it and come to a decision that takes everybody's feelings and preferences into account. So it's an assumption that a verbal negotiation not only is the best way to come to a conclusion, but in itself is a way of showing that you take the other person's preferences into account. It's a way of focusing your conversational strategies out toward the other person, not entirely in toward what your goal is. Now, interestingly, in the example that I gave, the man told me he would have been very happy to stop if he had only known that's what she wanted. Because he has a different sense of a negotiation, he has a different sense of what's possible to say given what the other person said. Again, it's this idea of conversational ritual. So from his point of view, if she says, are you thirsty? Would you like to stop for a drink? And he says no, but she really would like to, then she could say, well, if you don't mind, I would like to stop. And then he would say, no, I don't mind. That's fine. So he is assuming that a negotiation starts specific. You throw out an idea. If that idea is okay with everyone, you go with it. If the idea is not okay with everyone, then everyone who's not satisfied is free to throw an objection out and negotiate from there. So in one case, you start specific and negotiate out. In the other case, you start with a general question and negotiate in. What's tricky is that because conversation is a ritual and we expect the other person to talk in a certain way, when they talk in a way that we don't expect, it's like you're playing a pinball machine and it goes tilt. So from her point of view, once he says no, it's like tilt. It's over. She doesn't know what else to say. And so she thinks that he has made a demand. And that's why down the line, he might say, why didn't you tell me what you want? And she might say, well, we always do what you want anyway, so why should I bother telling you what I want? And he feels the reason we don't do what you want is because you don't tell me. And she feels you never gave me the opportunity to tell you. Amazingly enough, I've seen this happen in the workplace as well. So one manager told me that when he is thinking of a new policy that he wants to institute, he announces the policy and assumes that anyone who doesn't like it will come and tell him. Well, people that work for him, and they're more likely to be men who might feel that anything that's announced can be questioned if you don't like it, that might be fine for them. But those who feel that you have a negotiation and that once something is announced, it's firm, it's non-negotiable, they would not feel free to come and tell him. So he's assuming it's okay with everyone because nobody objected, and people that work for him, and it may be more likely to be women than men, but it could be either, feel he made up his mind, the decision is out there, and if we don't like it, there's nothing we can do about it. I want to mention some caveats here again. When I say that women are more focused on the connection level of talk, and you can see that among girls, when I say that men are more focused on the competitive level, boys are more competitive, their conversation is more competitive, you can get the impression that somehow girls are nicer and boys are mean. Being cooperative is better than being competitive. So I want to emphasize that there is no value judgment implied in anything that I'm saying here. And in fact, there is nothing inherently negative about being aware of status. In fact, I think it's a peculiarly American assumption that status is somehow bad and equality is good. For many people in the world, and I think many Asian cultures would fit in here, and Japanese comes to mind as a specific example, there's an assumption that a hierarchical relationship is a very good thing, and their classic sense of hierarchy would be a parent-child relationship or a grandparent and a grandchild. It's extremely hierarchical, but it's extremely close, and it's a very positive image to think of a parent-child relationship. One of my graduate students, Suwako Watanabe, for her dissertation, studied small discussion groups made up of American and Japanese students. She was addressing the question of why so many Japanese students, when they were told in their American classrooms to form small groups and talk to each other, would find themselves very uncomfortable, found a hard time talking in that setting. And what she concluded was that the Japanese groups did best when they were united by hierarchy, if it was clear what the hierarchical relationships were among the group, then everybody knew their place and knew how to participate. Whereas the American students seemed to be more comfortable when there was no hierarchy in the group and they could just throw ideas out as they occurred to them.